Welcome to the How to Raise Money podcast for anyone who wants to raise other people's money for a business or property venture. Right now, there has never been more money on the planet, and there has never been more opportunity. This podcast will help you put the two together. So, if you need money for your business or property proposals from banks, lenders, angels, whales, or dragons, this is the podcast for you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the How to Raise Money podcast with me, Ray McLennan.
And it's me, the other one, Nigel T. Best. Ray Mondo, hey, how the devil are you?
Don't have much to say, Nigel. I'm not as windswept and interesting and traveled as you are. I believe you've been traveling all over France.
May we, mange tout, my boy. Yes, indeed. Going around, having a tour. Looking at all the village signs upside down and what have you. I tell you, Ray, one thing that you realize about France is, well, several things. It's big and there's a lot of fields and there's a lot of trees. Obviously, a lot of agriculture still. And there are a lot of buildings out there that are fallen into disrepair. And if you wanted to go into France and buy something as a project, you can, and for very little money. And if you're willing to sort of join in with a village or a town or whatever, and help sort of bring some interest, that would be really good. But here's I'm going to add to that actually, because when I was over there, I couldn't understand why in this country, in the UK, we've had this amazing work from home revolution, which quite honestly is a quel désastre, as they would say, potentially. And
well, apparently, sorry, stop you there, but the Office for National Statistic, did you see that? They had a poll and a large proportion of them said they will go on strike if they're forced to work for more than 40% in the office.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that because they are now realizing that the actual productivity has taken a dive and it's pretty hard to manage people all over the place. But my point was, I was really surprised in France that more people hadn't moved out to these villages, taken, on a project or whatever for peanuts and built something amazing and do a bit of work from home. And the comments I was getting and the feedback I was getting was, no, it's absolutely frowned upon to do this work from home. Yeah. And really not seen as a good thing to do. And so there wasn't that necessarily that demand to do that sort of thing. But anyway, we digress. But interesting place. I sort of love it, hate it, in equal measure. But there's a few things that I think we should bring over here. Just to improve that customer service, which is, I was talking to someone at the bank on the telephone and the signal got cut and I phoned them back and somebody else answered and I said, oh, I was trying to speak to Santa and they went, oh yeah, they've gone on lunch, phone back in 2 hours. So, absolutely down tools, right? The phone cut line got cut, right? Sod this, I'm off for lunch for 2 hours. And all the rest of it. And I think we should do the same. We had someone who did it literally in front of us as we're driving back through the Channel Tunnel on the French side. The barrier went up, cars started going through. He stepped in front of us, put his hand up and told us to wait, turned on his heels and just walked off. And that was it. And then about... And you're sort of thinking, well, should I go? Shouldn't I go? And then the barrier came down, red light came on, and he'd sodded off. And it was like everyone was looking around going, what was all that about?
Yeah, and I love it that in France, they don't take a lunch hour. They have a lunch 2 hour. And in Spain, I think it's even longer. They have a nap in the afternoon and all this. But yeah, there's definitely things we can learn.
So I think we should bring that in here.
There's a slow food movement, which is quite good. And then we no longer have those. Something else that we used to have in Britain, actually, that we no longer have is the Invade and Conquer France Society. There was a society you could join up until about 30 years ago. Anyway, we're here to talk about how to raise money, and we should talk about that. And the subject we're going to talk about this week is about, I suppose, creative and novel ways to raise money. You'd mentioned that you know, people are saying, well, I'm fed up with the banks, you know, you've got to jump through all these hoops, you've got this, you've got that, you've got the next thing. Are there any other ways to raise money? So we've got a few here. We'll probably talk about five or six of them. Excuse me. I'll probably talk about five or six of them and yeah, and see where we go. So in no particular order, here we go. So number one is crowdfunding. Now, again, talking to someone within the last couple of weeks, and they were mentioning about raising money for this and raising money for that. And I said crowdfunding. And surprisingly, they didn't know anything about it. You know, I'd kind of heard of it, but didn't think it applied to them. Well, it can apply to you, but it depends what you're trying to raise money for. Now, when I was with Angel's Den all those years ago, we did start a crowdfunding platform. I think it was about 2014, so 10 years ago, we started a crowdfunding platform. And we were not by any means the first. There were quite a few that were around. And the ones that were around then are still around now. So you've got platforms like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, GoFundMe, and they're essentially for individuals or businesses to raise funds for your particular project or your products or even a particular cause that you believe in. And the aim is to get small contributions from a large number of people. Now, there was one, the most recent one, and I wouldn't say I was involved in, but I certainly directed people towards it. And it was a case where a man was challenging the bank or a bank. It's a reasonably famous one. It's Santander versus Anthony Carlin. And Anthony Carlin was stopping them from effectively trying to repossess his house because they couldn't produce any of the paperwork, et cetera, et cetera. He's gone a long way down the route, and the bank have tried absolutely everything they can to get him to give up, but he's not giving up. But he went to court recently, and when I say recently, in the last couple of months, and the bank had insisted that before they proceed to the next part of the case, he ought to put up a bond, known as caution in Scotland, to cover their fees. So that in the event that he lost the case, they would at least get some remedy from him. So the court, the bank, knew he didn't have any money. They'd basically squeezed him for years. He'd been spending a lot of money on legal fees, et cetera, et cetera. Knowing he had no money, they tried this tactic. And the bank said that he had to pay a bond in of £10,000. And they usually give you, you know, 14 days, 21 days, whatever it is, to produce that bond. He went onto a crowdfunding platform, told his story, and essentially raised the money in a few days. So he got his 10 grand plus 2,000 towards legal fees. And when I last looked, which was about a couple of hours ago, it was over 16,000. So he was looking to raise 10. He had a stretch target of 15, which was to cover, you know, legal costs. So 10 for the bond, legal costs and so on. And at last look, it was 16 and over. And there was a note there saying, no further donations required. Thank you very much for everyone who contributed. No further donations required. However, if you do donate, it will go to a good cause. It will be used. You know, we can use the money sort of thing. So that's an example of crowdfunding for a cause. In terms of crowdfunding for properties, we've had that. In terms of crowdfunding for products, we've had that. Good thing about a product is you can say to people, well, you know, it's on the drawing board. If you pay up front, effectively, we will give you one of the first products that comes out. So you can raise your money to do that way. And there's many, many examples online of people raising hundreds of thousands in that particular way. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, never thought of crowdfunding, you know, give us a shout. Hello at htrmoney.co.uk. Run your particular project past us and we'll let you know if it qualifies or we think it might qualify. So there we are, crowdfunding. Nigel, over to you.
Yeah, crowdfunding is something that is quite, you sort of go, well, why would people do it? Well, first of all, I'd say, Ray, you almost need to go back a stage and you need to engage in something that will attract attention from people, will attract either empathy, sympathy, curiosity, or interest. Because at that point, if they're interested in you, your story, what goes on, then people have much more of a vested interest in it and are more likely to do it. So maybe as part of this, if you've never done it before, online social media, online presence, talking about things and your cause, you always see, you know, that if you get attention, And it's a form of marketing. If you get attention, you're more likely to, you know, really get far more donated. So imagine Captain Sir Tom Moore in the UK. If he'd walked around his garden, but no one had picked up on his story, well, he might have raised 50 quid. Instead, they picked up on it. People got on board. They thought it was fantastic. He raised 50 million or whatever it was. And so never think to yourself, oh, crowdfunding doesn't work if you've tried it and nothing happened. You've got to think to yourself, okay, what's the story behind it? What's my story? What's my cause célèbre? What's the reason for doing it? So, Ray, when we sort of talk to a number of people, a number of people have some really good passionate projects. So maybe it might be homes for veterans. It might be homes for homeless. It might be social elements to it and things like that. These will resonate with people. And so when you're thinking to yourself, okay, how do I raise money on this? Go back a few steps and say, how do I talk about this? How do I share my passion? How do I share the cause, the benefits of doing this, and how many people you can help? And if you do that and then say, by the way, if you want to help, here's the crowdfunding link, you are going to be far more successful about it. If you go on and say, I'm raising £50,000 so I can buy a house, people are going to go, yeah, nice one, mate. Yeah, thanks very much. I don't think so. But if you put a bit more of a backstory to it, and just think of any of these reality TV programs, you know, you get someone who comes on who can't sing a note, but they want to sing in the Albert Hall or something. And you go, well, why should you do that? And then they describe their backstory, how they've had 15 fatal diseases and managed to survive them all somehow. Their entire family was wiped out by a meteor that glanced off the neighbor's shed or something and wiped them out, you know, and it goes on and on and on. And by the end of it, you're in tears and you've got your phone out and you're making a donation. This is one of these things, Ray, isn't it? It's emotion creates motion. So if you can make your story emotional, then you're probably far more likely to get people to, you know, enact some form of motion, which is to get involved or to make a donation and all the rest of it. So those sort of things, it's kind of linking that first one of crowdfunding into one which is really social media element. So it's talking about what you're doing, why you're doing it, and it's building that backstory, that reason that people should get involved. That's the key thing.
You're reminding me of a program that was on. It was a Peter Kay one. Do you remember Britain's Got the Pop Factor and possibly a new celebrity, Jesus Christ, soap star, superstar, Strictly on Ice?
Yeah, that's it.
When they said that he's a great singer, but he's not got a backstory. And then as they're driving away, the singer's nan dies. It's like, get him back on the show.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And hey, look, I'm a sucker for it too. I am. Ray, an interesting one. Many years ago, when they were doing big charity appeals, and you'll notice it, as soon as someone mentions it, you can't help but notice it now. In the past, they would, and I'm talking about sort of 30, 40 years ago, when it was things like famine in Africa, and there were these big things. What they found was there was a certain level of donation because you were showing, you know, flying over just people laid out on the ground because they were exhausted. They had no food, no water. And there was just hundreds of people, thousands of people, and what have you in these scenes. And you just looked at it and you went, wow, this is just the scale of it was incredible. And they got a certain level of donation. What they found, though, was when they homed in on one person, be it a child holding a bowl or a dog, you know, if it's an animal one, a skinny dog limping along the side of the road or whatever, the resulting donation level was so much higher. So if you've got an amazing cause and you're looking to raise money for it, maybe focus in on one person within that cause and hold, you know, focus, make the focus on that. Because if you show a classic thing, Ray, dogs, animals, cats, whatever, during lockdown, hugely popular, people paid a fortune, cost of living crisis, can't afford them anymore, giving them away, dumping them. They're all going to these dog homes and what have you. And what you found was they showed a picture of all these cages, all these dogs, blah-de-blah-de-blah. Nobody really came forward to get them. Mm. What they did was they then went back, focused on this thing, and then they went to one cage and they said, this is the loneliest dog in the world.
Mm.
And, you know, that dog gets rehomed in 2 minutes and there's about 5,000 people wanting it and stuff. And that's the power of focusing in on one thing. So if you're looking to do a project, maybe, and it's got a special benefit, maybe it is the backstory of the person that you're creating it for. You know, it just, yeah. just think about it on your social media. Just think about that. I know it's cheesy. I know it's potentially cynical. I know you're probably thinking this is not right, but this is how the brain works. This is how we work. And if you want this sort of slightly off the wall way of raising money, to work for you, you've got to think about it.
Hmm. Okay. Right. Well, we're not going to get through six at this rate. We've only covered one.
Yeah.
I think you're doing the next one.
Right. Let's have a look. I'm looking down. There's loads of sort of things. One of the interesting ones at the moment is, and we'll talk about a friend of ours called Alan, who's doing something along this sort of thing, is looking at cryptocurrencies, tokenization, crypto donations, uh-huh. NFTs and things like that. If you're at this point, your eyes are glazing over and you're thinking, what the bloody hell? I don't understand any of it. No, that's fine. I get it. But for those people who are kind of getting on board with this, and there's no harm in finding out and doing a bit of research about what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Cryptocurrencies, NFT, tokenization, what can it be? It can be fractional ownership of properties. And how does that work? Well, you buy a digital asset and that is a fractional, you know, part of a property and people can own it. Now, well, what's the benefit of that? Well, in some ways you can own these things and there can be wealth generated from the property that is then paid out in little digital sort of dividends to anyone that owns particular digital elements of this, be it token, NFT or whatever. And so what does that mean? Well, it means, imagine you bought a house all yourself, you rented it out and you got the rent. Okay, yeah, get that. That's fairly straightforward. Borrowed 100,000, I earn 5,000 a year. That's great. What if you don't have 100,000 to buy the property and do all this and get the 5,000 back? Well, what if you only had £100? Well, maybe you could buy a tiny percentage of that and be entitled to a tiny percentage of the rental income. That's kind of in a nutshell what these things can be. What does it mean to you as you're trying to raise money? Well, it means that you are putting it out there and it's almost like crowdfunding a property, but using digital assets to do it, digital currencies. And, you know, people can purchase £100 worth of a house in Miami, a penthouse in Miami that's going to get rented. It's going to appreciate. You're going to get an element of money back on that. So it's like a tiny little crypto investment from the person's point of view, and they can sell their share on, they can trade it on these, you know, on your e-wallets and mm-hmm. crypto wallets and all the rest of it. But for you as an investor, you've got suddenly, I don't know, you might have 10,000 people have bought a little fraction of this. You go out, buy the property, manage the property, you have an element, you take your fee, you give people little dividends, and you know, there you go, you've got a property. So it's one for the people that are looking to the future in the way that currency as a whole is going, which is digital, crypto, all the rest of it. If you're thinking, does that make sense? All I'd advise is go away, have a look at it, think about it, and see what it is. But Ray, have you got Alan's, it's called Vestin, is what they're talking about, V-E-S-T-N.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about this fractionalized ownership of property, tokenization, and all the rest of it. And I'd advise you to go have a look at it. Learn about these things. Don't necessarily jump straight in and start buying Bored Apes or whatever, all these other things. Just learn about it. And these things you can go in for a tiny amount. So if you wanted to spend $10 on some cryptocurrency, there are things. I've got a Revolut account, and you can open up crypto. You can buy crypto for, you know, whatever fraction you want, and see it go down in value very quickly, and then back up in value very quickly, and then down in value very quickly. Yeah. And at the end of it, someone will tell you, I found how you trade cryptocurrencies. I found the secret. It's cobblers. There are sometimes so few people in that market that they can affect the market. Do not think there's any sensible way of investing in crypto. It's all cobblers. It's a gamble. Mm-hmm. You are literally rolling the dice as far as I'm concerned. So don't pay for any crypto revolutionary guaranteed investment sort of returns on crypto. It's cobblers, 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 cobblers. Yeah. So don't go into it with a bit of a, oh, I've got 10 quid. Here's a go. I'll have a go at this. And it might go to 50 quid or it might go to 3 pence.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. And you will not understand why. No one in the world will be able to explain why. It's just how it happens, I think. So there you go. As we say, we don't advise on anything here. We have a laugh and a joke about most things.
Indeed.
But yeah, crypto. Ooh, it could be a way of raising money.
Okay. All right. Next thing is, we talked about crowdfunding earlier on, but there's also a thing called peer-to-peer fundraising. Now, this is where private individuals who have a spare bit of money, in my experience, it's sort of 10,000 upwards, where they will put it into peer-to-peer so that they want to get a better return than they would get if it were in the bank. And the peer-to-peer organization will club these people together and lend the money out to whatever particular project it is. So you've got websites like Just Giving and Classy, and they can facilitate that type of fundraising. So it's individuals who are putting up their actual cash. So it's not a bank. It's not a bank that's, you know, fractional reserve creation out of nothing. It's individuals who are putting up their actual cash towards you. And again, it can be quite quick. My experience of peer-to-peer fundraising, there's a few companies out there, Lend, Invest, and that sort of thing. It's very good. Their lawyers are very good because they're practical. The guys that are putting the money up are usually entrepreneurs or very successful. They've been very successful in the private sector, so they understand things. And if you put a pitch together and you approach them, quite often they'll give you decent feedback as well. It's not just about saying, oh, yes or no, I'll lend the money. It's about giving you advice. Angel's Den, for example, was really sort of peer-to-peer lending, if you like. But peer-to-peer fundraising, slightly different. But it's a way. It's one of those creative ways where you can raise money. Yet again, I've said it before, if you think you might qualify for something like that, for either crowdfunding or peer-to-peer fundraising, and you're not quite sure about it, but you're interested enough to know more, send an email to hello@htrmoney.co.uk and myself and or Nigel will get back to you with our thoughts. Nigel, let's do one more, shall we? And then we'll...
Okay, I mean, one thing you could see, I don't know if you, Ray, have you noticed my new T-shirt there?
Escape to the Dream House. Nigel is showing, for those of you listening on the podcast, is showing a Manchester City blue-coloured, polo top.
I hadn't thought of that. I was thinking it's more Cambridge blue, you know, to celebrate the fact that I have been to Cambridge, obviously only as a tourist, but I have been to Cambridge. Mm-hmm. And yes, on here is escapetothedreamhouse.com, which is the YouTube. And yes, there is going to be a French property going to feature on that YouTube channel very soon, as mm-hmm. well as a potential farmhouse barn conversion. However, one of the things I was thinking about, which comes from this, is the fact that people who you may have a podcast, you may have a blog, you may have a YouTube channel, you may have other social media things, and your cause, what you're talking about, may attract people to come on and say, look, I'll sponsor you, I'd like to advertise on you, or I'd like to give you some tools, equipment. So yes, I am accepting any power tools to help with property renovation. if you wish to donate those to me, please, please, please donate. No. it's one of those things that, you know, you could do this and you could raise funds in terms of getting sponsorship or advertising. Obviously, there are ones on the big platforms. So YouTube, you've got to get to a certain level before you can access those things. And you, it's all about views and eyeballs and what you can earn from that. But then from that, there are other things which are behind paywalls, which could be memberships. It could be additional services, additional sort of benefits and value to it, utility behind something for which you ask people to make a small payment. One of the big ones that people may have heard of is Patreon. Mm-hmm. Which is one that is, again, is automated. You don't have to do a lot to it. Ray and I have talked about this. Should we do a Patreon here for the How to Raise Money podcast? I don't know what people's thoughts are, that if there was a little paywall, we could do more behind the scenes for those people. It's a smaller audience. We can get to know that audience. And it's a potential way, folks, if you're doing this sort of thing, just like I said, you need to build up your backstory in order to potentially raise money and get people to donate. There is this thing, again, getting out there, you could put something behind a membership and raise some money. But just to finish off, Ray, I would just say, regardless of what it is, whenever you're choosing your kind of alternative fundraising method, you've always got to be thinking, okay, who's my target audience? What resources do they have? What are the legal, ethical, and all the rest of it implications of the way that you're doing it? And the fact that you've got to communicate with people. You've got to talk to people about what you're doing, why you're doing, how is it going, giving the feedback and all the rest of it. You need to explain, okay, if you contribute to me here, this is how we're going to use it and this is what's going to happen. And, you know, overall, you're trying to say to people, look, I'm doing this because of this, and the impact it's going to have, the transformation it's going to have for people is going to be that. And I think if Ray, you know, what are your thoughts on that? You got to kind of work out who you're appealing to and what you're trying to do with it, haven't you?
Well, it's always about a story, isn't it, Nigel? It's always about the backstory. The better the story is, the more detail, the more emotion you can put into it, the more you are going to be successful with these things. One thing people might be listening to and thinking, well, you know, I get what you're saying about all this, but I don't actually have any social media presence. Well, if you are doing crowdfunding, peer-to-peer lending, anything like those suggestions we've made, you will need to have a social media presence because that's the first thing people will look at. So it tends to be, certainly from our experience, it's a lot more successful if you've got a social media following and if you've got some kind of previous backstory that people can go to. And if you've got a certain number of subscribers, the more subscribers you have, the better it'll become. I do recall one, I can't remember their name right off the top of my head right now, but I will remember in a minute. It was a couple of young lads, say in their late sort of 20s, came to raise some money for their building project that was going to be all solar panels and, you know, recycled water and all that kind of carry on. And they had quite a large social media following. So when they did their crowdfunding, they got funded very quickly because they reached out to the subscribers, to their original audience, and they asked their subscribers, obviously, to pass it on, you know, please pass this on to others. So for about a month before the platform went live, they were promoting it like mad, saying this is coming on that day, this is coming on that day. And then they would talk about it and they would answer all the questions that you would get as well. So they were interactive and they had a very successful time. So yeah, so if you haven't got a social media platform, you ideally need to have one if you're going to do that particular route. Okay, right. On that particular...
Ray, just before we tune off from that, obviously the first post, whenever you're trying to raise money or do something online, the first post should be you draped over the bonnet of a Ferrari, which is parked in front of your private jet, holding a wad of fake Monopoly money, going, give me more money, because that seems to work, doesn't it? But, hey, folks, always do, Ray and I talk about this, always do the mum test. Would your mum be pleased about what you post on social media? Exactly. So would she be impressed or not? So don't do stupid things. It always catches you out.
Indeed.
So yeah, go for it, folks. It's a different, it's a totally different way of doing it. And in this day and age, it is amazing who gets popular on social media with the most bizarre things. Someone was telling me something about they roll a bottle down steps and they see when it breaks or something, and they just get like millions and millions of views and stuff. And it's different bottles on different types of stone, marble, carpet, or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that. I couldn't get my head around it myself. Didn't go and look at it. But apparently tens of millions of people do. So if you think there's nothing that people would want to see about what I'm doing, think again. The world is full of weirdos. Hey,
I'll see your bottle rolling down the steps, which I haven't seen, but I'll see your bottle and I'll raise it. Have you seen the one where they put a glass of water under a tap, a sink, and the camera's sort of behind the sink looking, and there's a bunch of guys, and they've got to turn the tap on so that one drip goes in so that the water doesn't overflow.
Is it kind of like water Jenga or something?
It is, yeah. Oh, well.
There you go.
On that bombshell, I've been Ray McLennan.
I'm still the other guy.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the How to Raise Money podcast. It's made for people who want to raise money as debt or investment equity for their business or property proposal or empire. The website has all the useful links and underlying research, and you can get downloads of the checklists and other useful information. See you next time, where we can show you how to raise money. There is abundance. There is money enough for everyone on the planet. The question is, who has yours?